Celebrators, welcome. Excited to have you here today. Wrapping up a series that we've started 3 weeks ago. Today would be the fourth week, called Not a Fan. To let you know, we had made available for you these cool little bracelets, Not a Fan, as well as the book that it's inspired from, Kyle Eidelman. And I regretfully have been informed that we are sold out of those two items. But the t-shirts did not sell as much like hotcakes as we thought, so I've been given some to give away today. Who would like some? Oh, I see how you are. You're just a bunch of fans right now is what you are. Right there, big boy. All right, come on, come on. Let's see if I got the arm right there. Right there. Middle section, middle section, middle section. Oh, that went over there, so I got to give one more. One more right here. Ready? Look at the guys on the back row. Do you really think I have that much of an arm? Let's see. Almost. That's a small. And we'll do one there. Right there. Who caught it out there? Raise your hand. Who caught it? You see, I was looking right at you when I did that one right there. It's perfect timing. Hey, listen, man, I hope you have thoroughly been jacked up in this series, as I have. Anybody else out there been a little uncomfortable with Not a Fan? Yeah? Awesome. You can thank Jesus for that. Not me. I don't want that on me. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that has felt that way as we've gone through this series. Here's what I'd like to do today. I like to pray and ask Jesus once again to personally invite him into our lives to mess us up a little bit more. Does that sound good? Are you with me on that one? And part of the way that we do that is kind of make you uncomfortable. So here's what we're going to do. My wife loves when we do this. So here's what we're going to do. We're all going to stand to our feet right now. We're going to stand to our feet. We're going to stand to our feet. And what we're going to do is we're going to grab the hand of the person that we're sitting next to right now. Some of you are like, this is seriously uncomfortable. It's crazy. I see a buddy of mine out there, Kaleo, next to his girlfriend's dad, and he's got to hold his hand. I love it. Somebody get that on camera. Selfie, Twitter. All right. Got it. Now, you got to hold. Why are we divided, body of Christ? Grab across the aisles. Let's do this thing. Come on. No fear. No fear. I love it. I love it. I am going to ask my friend, Chad, right here, Nuroth, to do give his own little public speaking opportunity right here. But you're performing for an audience of one. You're just praying to Jesus. Would you publicly pray for us today that God would mess us up and in an intimate way? Would you do that for me? Real loud. They got to hear you back there. Okay, bro? All right, let's do it. Amen. Amen. Woo! Yes. Some of you guys got scared when I said hold a hand next to you and you looked across and you didn't know them. In your brains, you were thinking Ebola. That's my crazy way of mixing Ebola and E. coli together. I love it. Yeah. Hey, listen. In Luke 9:23, last week, we talked about the invitation of all invitations that Jesus offers to his followers. And he says, if you want to be a follower of mine, let's get one thing straight. Let's understand completely what a follower looks like. Believing is one thing, and it's important. And we've talked about that in John 3:16. And that's a big deal. You've got to understand that believing in Jesus and in faith is huge. But following is also a part of really being a follower of mine. And that's why, remember last week we said you can go, or you used to be able to watch any sporting event and see John 3:16 plastered up on a board and crazy rainbow wig guy, but you've never probably in your life seen somebody hold up, hey, Luke 9:23, because it's just not as inviting. And I'm going to read that for you as so some of you can understand what it is. This is what it was. In Luke 9:23, Jesus' invitation to follow him went off like this. It said, if anyone, and I love this, at the very beginning, Jesus tells us, this is not an exclusive offer for just an elite group of people. This is anybody. anybody. So anybody that's sitting out there thinking that you have sinned so much that God can't forgive you, forget it. That's a lie straight from hell. All right? The truth is, Jesus says, anybody. So I love Jesus. He opens up his invitation. He's very inviting. He's kind of making me feel like, yeah, this is pretty cool. If anybody, that means me. All right? I am not beyond saving. But then he says, if anyone would come after me. Remember what we said the words come after actually mean in translation is this, is you would passionately pursue Jesus in a way that you would pursue somebody like romantically today. And we kind of use the husband-wife thing, Ginger doing ridiculously crazy stupid things to try to get me and catch me along the way. It's just, no, but no, seriously. My wife, my lovely wife, I've done some crazy, ridiculously insane things. And Jesus is saying, this is nuts. I know it's kind of crazy, but you should be looked at by other people. We use the great pearl or the pearl of great worth or of great price as our example. And Jesus in the parable is saying, you will do crazy, radical things for me. People will look around at you and say, are you, see, what, huh? You're tithing to church? No. Why? That's your money. You're not supposed to give that away. You're serving. You're going to go this Friday night and do a trunk? You're crazy. You crazy, man. You're crazy. You're going to do things. That's what the words come after mean. You're going to do things that people look at you and think, you're a little odd. But that's the way that Jesus says that we are to come after him. We are supposed to be looked at. We're supposed to passionately pursue him in ways that people look at us and like, you're kind of crazy. But then Jesus is interested because he changes the gears a little bit. And so far, it's been kind of nice because he says, anybody, that's anybody. Anybody can do this. Come after me. Passionately pursue. That's cool. Yeah, every once in a while I can do this. That's awesome. But then he changes the rules in the game and he says this. He must deny himself. And then we go to serious wording that changes the rules of the game. And deny himself, you remember anything that we said is this, is it means that you no longer have any value yourself. You don't even acknowledge your existence. And we use it in scripture in a comparison in Deuteronomy in which people would sign their lives away as lifetime slaves. They were called bondservants. And that's what Jesus was talking about, this denier himself, is you no longer acknowledge your existence. You become a slave to Jesus. But and that's not that inviting. And I'm sorry if you're far from Jesus today because the next one's going to push you way over the edge. And at the end of today, we're going to say, hey, you want to sign up for Jesus? And you're going to be like, But I'm just coming straight forward with you and telling you the truth. This is what Jesus says to followers. I have no more identity. But we did say last week there's some amazing perks that come with signing your life away to Jesus. Some amazing perks that only are found in him. And then Jesus goes ahead and throws a serious curveball and says this. Not only do you not recognize your existence anymore, but you need to take up your cross and do it daily. And when Jesus introduces these words, he's saying this. Hey, listen, anybody's welcome. Passionately pursue me. Crazy, ridiculous stuff. People are going to wonder. No longer recognize your existence. Sign yourself up for slavery for lifetime. And take up your cross daily. Do you know what that means? That's a symbol of die. I said it last week. Jesus did not come for behavior modification. He did not come to change you. He came so that you would die. He came that you would die. And when we say it like this, it really isn't that inviting, is it? And it makes a lot of us who have been supposed followers for a very long time examine and evaluate how really much are we following? Or are we confusing ourselves and merely just fans? And that's the intent of this service. That's the intent of this entire series, is to push you to uncomfortability. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with the Holy Spirit, not me. Okay? Because I have been beat up as much as you people have in this series. It's not been fun. But I am called as your pastor to put it out there, just like the Holy Spirit does, and then leave the choice up to you. And my prayer has been that you would recognize that that invitation right there is an invitation worth following. Because the benefits far outweigh what I think are benefits. So here's what we're going to do today. We really broke that down last week. But what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of take a look at some of these words a little bit more. Self-denial, carrying my cross daily, and following Jesus, coming after. And we're going to do that by looking at three characters in our Bible that are found in the last part of Luke chapter 9. So Jesus rolls out this invitation midway through Luke, and then at the very end, he's like, let me give you an example of a couple or a few people that thought they were fans but didn't quite understand the deny himself, take up his cross, come after, and follow me stuff. Let me give you some examples. And what I'm hoping to do is, as we roll out these three fans for you today, is maybe, just maybe, help you identify, maybe I might be one of these people, or thank the Lord I'm not one of these people, and I said no to that a long time ago, and I started doing this. Just helping you with some self-identification, and then offering you a chance to move in the right direction if maybe, just maybe, you find yourself in one of these categories. So, here's what's happening. Apparently, these guys come to Jesus and they're very enthusiastic. A lot like fans today. Like, you know, we'll throw the COC window decal on the back of our car. And like, Jesus follower. You don't drive like one, but you're one. Right? But we realize that in their wanting to follow, they make a declaration of excuses. A familiar territory of a lot of fans today. Here's our first fan found in Luke chapter 9, 57. They were walking along the road, and a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. We just sang it, did we not? I will follow you. You know what I'm saying? I know. I should sing on the band. I know. But I will follow you wherever you go. And at first hearing, we're thinking, these words sound pretty good. How's this guy a fan? Is he not a follower? But this fan seems to understand what Jesus is looking for in his followers. He uses some strong, exclusive words, wherever, implying there are no restrictions, there are no boundaries in which I will follow you, Jesus. That's why he says, wherever, Jesus. But watch closely at how Jesus answers this first fan in verse 58. Jesus says, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Basically implying when this first fan comes and said, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever, bro. Yeah, number one, yeah. And Jesus is like, hey, man, have you noticed? I'm homeless. I got nowhere to go tonight. Dude, my mama couldn't even find a place to give birth to me. And here's what you really need to get with this first fan today, celebrators. The first fan says this. Very common to a lot of fans today. I'll follow you, Jesus, wherever. And when you say that to Jesus, you got to understand that Jesus' reply is going to be this. Okay, okay. Cool. What about there? He's always going to come back. When you're enthusiastic and you just sound the charge like, I'll follow you wherever, you got to know Jesus is always going to follow it up and say, okay, okay. What about there? It's very easy, folks. It's very easy to speak about following Jesus by just simply saying it verbally. But it's a whole different ballgame when it requires some specific commitments, when significant changes are supposedly supposed to be made. But what you need to get today, celebrators, is this, out of this first gate with this first fan. When Jesus speaks about following him, apparently, according to our Bibles, he means that you go wherever he goes, period. There's no way around it. Apparently, when Jesus speaks about following him, he's always going to follow it up with a statement. When you say, I will follow you wherever, he'll always say, okay, cool, what about there? Or what about here? He's always going to do it. And here's what wherever means, so you can understand this realistically speaking, okay? When you say, I'll follow you wherever, all right? And Jesus comes back and says, what about your home? Because it sure looks like instead of submitting, you're standing up a whole lot more often for your rights. Instead of serving, you seem to be sitting around a whole lot. Instead of being patient, you seem to be a whole lot more demanding. Instead of being encouraging, you seem to be constantly critical. Instead of being a spiritual leader, you're seeming a whole lot more passive and apathetic. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever. And Jesus says, what about there? Your home. Will you follow me there too? And suddenly, when we say it kind of like that, if the shoe fits, those things sure don't sound a whole lot like self-denial, do they? If you have no rights, you're a servant. And suddenly, it changes the game. Or how about this one? This is what wherever means. Jesus, I'm serious. I will follow you wherever. And Jesus comes back with his what about there, and he says, what about your finances? Because it sure looks like instead of giving, you justify keeping it by calling it saving it. Instead of giving, you justify hoarding it by saying it's yours. Instead of giving, you justify not giving it by saying law versus grace, baby. Ow. All while Jesus is saying, you'll follow me wherever. What about your finances? What about there? Will you follow me there? Will you follow me there too? And suddenly when we say it like that, those things just don't seem like coming after passionately, radically, doing some weird and crazy things like tithing. See, the fan in Luke chapter 9 was happy to say wherever until Jesus said there too. And I believe that one of the reasons that we don't follow Jesus wherever is because we have taken his commands more like suggestions. Larry Osborne, a well-known Christian author, said this, that many people today treat God more like a consultant rather than the Lord of their lives. And therein lies the problem. He says it this way, a consultant is someone whose wisdom we highly value and we listen to, but at the end of the day, we make the final decision. That's why they're called consultants. Here's the problem. God doesn't do consulting. Never has, never will. He does God. And when we treat him like a consultant, he simply will stop showing up for the meetings. And some of us are wondering, where is God in this moment, in this problem, right here and now? Maybe you've been treating him like a consultant. And that's why he's nowhere to be found. If you treat him like the Lord of your lives, he'll show up before the meeting even starts. The bottom line is this, celebrators. Please get this. Jesus wants followers. This is crazy radical. I know this. Seriously. Jesus wants followers who will say yes to him before they even know the request of him. Think about that. Think about that. He wants people to say, yes, now where do you want me to go? They say yes before they even know the destination. And when we put it like that, it does. I get it. It gets scary, doesn't it? And that might be why there's a whole lot more fans today than followers. Jesus spoke to this particular fan with this in mind. He knew that following him would be a journey of risk. It would be filled with uncertainty. But listen, here's what I mean. If a man decides that they are going to follow Jesus but doesn't know where they're going or if he'll have a place to stay, he's going to say no to following Jesus, largely in part because he's afraid of saying yes. And it's because of one thing. It's because of fear. You're afraid. You're afraid. You might even know the answer to God, and that's why you keep saying no. You're afraid that you know where he's going to say. Friday night with a trunk. Aren't you? Aren't ya? You know, $4 more a month, that's 16 bucks, or $4 more a week, 16 bucks a month. Oh, you know. You already know the answer, don't you? Don't you? Fear, though. Fear always asks this question. What if? What if I get married and he or she doesn't change? Hey, listen, if you're getting married expecting them to change, don't get married. There's your marriage counseling today. Don't say that you never got a chance to meet with Pastor Josh for marriage counsel. So there you go. What if I take this job and it doesn't work out for me? What if we have kids and they turn out like our friends' kids? What if he wants me to actually share my faith with my neighbor? Whoa. If you have never shared your faith, I highly encourage you to spend 15 minutes with Matt Balgard, our executive pastor. Guys, he's been on our staff for 8.5 years, and I've gotten saved 32 times just because he's been here. Insane. No, listen, if you want to share your faith, that's a guy that's bold about his faith like I've never seen. Sit down with Matt Balgard. What if he does? You're going to freak out. Some of you grabbed a card last week. You still haven't given it out. You can't even give an invitation card to somebody to church. When you're supposed to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If you're a guest this week, I just want to apologize in advance. Everybody here that's a celebrator has already prayed that I could punch you in the face through the Holy Spirit this series. So please come back. Please come back. Just going to extend that invitation right now. Okay? What if he calls me to foster or adopt a child that there's no chance in the world they would ever see Jesus if I didn't show up in their lives? I'm 55. My kids are gone. You probably got an extra bedroom. What if he wants me to make that bad relationship that's been bad for so long right? Guys, even psychologists will say the number one way people deal with fear is just avoidance altogether. And when we're afraid to go wherever, we just avoid it. We'll avoid it. Another reason people say no to following him is because they realize it will most definitely take you out of your comfort zone. Let me explain it this way so you understand. The places where we might have to say yes to God may just mean saying no to you. And that's definitely out of your comfort zone, isn't it? In other words, saying yes to following Jesus means this, saying no to, fill in the blank, I'll let you do it. And Jesus knew when he confronted this fan that saying yes to following him would actually mean saying no to any guarantee of comfort. Many fans are happy to follow Jesus wherever Jesus, as long as wherever is a place that's safe and secure. The most literal way to define what a follower of Jesus means is this: someone who goes wherever Jesus says to go. Period. And when we put it like that, I'm just not sure how many of us can truly call ourselves followers of Jesus if we are continually refusing to go where Jesus went or continually tells us to go. Here's what you need to get before we move on from this first fan this morning with this first idea of wherever. If you want to follow Jesus, celebrators, then you better start expecting your life to be uncomfortable. Remember, Jesus called you to die. Remember, if you want to follow Jesus today, then you better start expecting others to think you're just a little bit loco. You're just a little bit off your rocker. You're just a little bit different. Seriously, you ask Ginger, she's afraid to go in public with me. I'm just a little off my rocker. Because if it goes far enough, she knows where I'm going with the conversation. People should look at you and think, what is wrong with you? That is a great compliment of a follower of Jesus Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, then you better start expecting to be falsely accused and unjustly treated, just like our Savior. But realize this promise, folks, just so you know, that I'm not going to throw high heat at your head all day long. Realize this. Understand this. Get this, if you do decide to follow Jesus wherever, you will be with him and he will be with you. And that's a good thing. Okay, there's the grace today. Just so Ginger won't get mad at me later when she critiques me in this message. I was grace-based right there. It was grace. All about grace, baby. I did a whole series on grace. You can't, everyone's, okay, here we go. Here's our second fan, Luke chapter 59, or Luke chapter 9, verse 59 through 60. Here, or he, Jesus, said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now watch Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." We don't know too much about this guy other than the fact that he's kind of interested in following Jesus. We're only given kind of his excuse. And here's what you really need to get with this second fan today and a similar idea with the first fan. The second fan implies this: I'll follow you, Jesus, whenever. And Jesus' reply is, okay, what about now? What about now? What about now? Notice something interesting about this fan. This fan is personally invited, and so are you and I. In the Bible, we know in Luke 9:23, if anyone, we're personally invited today as well. But this is pretty cool. He's actually face-to-face with Jesus, and Jesus actually personally invites this guy to follow him just like he invited many of the apostles. He says two words, "Follow me." I think that's pretty cool because the same exclusive invitation that he gave to many of the disciples that wrote this Bible, he gave to this guy. This guy could be what you could call a potential disciple. He might have even written a book in the Bible. We don't know if he would have said yes because he was personally invited. Follow me. That's a special invitation. And apparently, this guy seems willing at first by simply saying, "Lord," referring that Jesus is his master, inferring that he is Jesus' slave. So he's got the idea, he's buying into it. But the second word is where we hear his hesitancy. And he says, first, catch this, folks. He wants to follow Jesus, just like many fans today. He wants to follow Jesus. But now, just isn't a good time. It's just not a good time. Now it's starting to sound like a lot of fans today, isn't it? Jesus doesn't seem to be too interested in an excuse, but at first hearing, think about it. His excuse isn't that bad, is it? I mean, the guy's dad died, right? Didn't he? Right? Josh, help us out. Interpret that for us. All the guy wants to do is bury his father. Is that too much to ask? You're starting to think, Jesus, dude, you're hardcore with this thing. I mean, 9:23 was enough, but now you're like, let the dead bury their dead, bro. But here's what you need to get, folks. It's highly likely, if you understand the context of the Bible, that this guy's dad is still alive. By saying, "Let me go bury my father," was actually another way of saying, "Hey, listen, Jesus, when my dad eventually dies, I will then." That's when I'm all in, baby. That's when I'm all in. Whatever the case is, it's the excuse that should resonate with us today. It's not that he's not willing. Guys, I have not met a lot of fans that aren't willing. Dude, sign me up. But when the going gets tough, there's nobody around. I've never met fans that aren't excited. They're not enthusiastic. They're not on fire temporarily for Jesus. It's not that he's not willing, it's just not a good thing or a good timing. He wasn't saying no, he's just saying not right now. And I really believe there's a lot of fans today that have these same half-hearted desires of following Jesus too. I believe it. They have every intention. You really do. You have every intention of one day being all in, just not right now. I'll give you a little bit at a time. I will give you $8 a month, not 16. Not right now. And they're waiting till later. And Jesus answers fan number two. It should most definitely give you and I a little discernment as to how Jesus feels about excuses and procrastination. Just forewarning. Jesus says to him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Guys, you gotta take notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus, you know, loving Jesus that we see on the movies, sweet Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "Oh man, dude, so sorry to hear about your dad. By all means, seriously, go take care of that. Please do. I'll be waiting right here for you when that's over." See, that's how many of us respond to Jesus, and we think that's what he says, but he doesn't say that. In essence, you know what Jesus says by saying, let the dead bury their dead? He's like, I ain't got time for that, bro. You want to follow me? Then understand what following me means. Now. Look at how the other disciples responded. They were asked to follow me in Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 20. Peter and Andrew at once left their nets. They left their job and followed him. James and John immediately left the boat and their dad and followed him. And based on these responses, I'm thinking at once and immediately, I think that's the commitment that Jesus was and is looking for in his followers. And what you got to get today, folks, you've got to understand this. When most fans are asked about their commitment to follow Jesus, the most common response today is this. Tomorrow. Matt, are you in here? He's not in here. Let's pretend he's right here. Matt, dude, I'm hearing you. I'm feeling you. This trunk or treat thing, I'm behind you, bro. But it's Friday this year. Trick or treat falls on Friday. So, dude, I got you next year, man. It's Saturday, so I got you, bro. Next year. Hey, Ginger, at kids camp, you did a great job this year. 350 plus kids every night. How many kids got saved, Ginger? 68 kids got saved, Ginger. That is awesome. And I'm so sorry I wasn't able to be there this year. But I promise, Ginger, I got your back next year. Seriously, okay? Like two nights, not four. That's crazy, ridiculous. I'm not ready to come after that much. But two of the four nights I'm there, I got your back next year, okay? Next year, I've got you. Hey, Cheryl Ortiz, you out there? You out there, Cheryl? Hey, Cheryl, C-City, you got kids coming out your wazoo over there, don't you? There's something in the water here at COC. We're popping out kids like crazy. And there's a growing need over there, isn't there? You need more people to serve, do you not? Cheryl, I got your back. I am willing to follow you. Seriously, whenever I am. What, 2 months, October, November, December. I got to get through the holidays. So sign me up January. I'm yours, but make it like the third Sunday, because I don't know if I'll be here the first two. But make it the third Sunday, and I'll be there, okay? But hey, make sure I got to have my summers off, okay? I got to have my summers off, okay? But I got your back. I'll serve you then. Whenever. Pastor Josh. Dude, I got your back. I hear what you're saying. 13.5, that's a big number. 700 grand, that's awesome. I got you. And when I get my bonus, because apparently the bonus is what God gives you, not everyday salary paycheck. I will, when I get that raise. There's no way around it, folks. Jesus is after today. And if all we're willing to give him is tomorrow, then we may already know where our allegiance lies. The bottom line is this. When Jesus calls us to follow, he means right now. And the greater question at this moment in time would be this. How long have some of us been saying tomorrow? Before you answer it, folks, here's what I know. 20 years of full-time vocational ministry. Here's what I know about tomorrow, the land of tomorrow. The land of tomorrow, that's where you find divorce, addiction, and unmanageable debt. The land of tomorrow is where you find unfaithful spouses and prodigal children. It's where you find the land of tomorrow. I'll wait until this storm is over, till this crisis is over. But more grace. In the land of today is where you find joy. And according to my Bible, not just joy, but joy that overflows. In John chapter 15, it says it never ends kind of joy. Can I get an amen, please, on that one? That's a good one right there. Here's what some of you need to hear today in closing to the second fan. Jesus hasn't been whispering, follow me, to some of you. He's been actually screaming it at you for a long period of time, hoping to get your attention so you don't lose any more time in the land of tomorrow. Please get this. This is huge. This is huge. This is worth writing down. The most dangerous part of following Jesus tomorrow isn't what you might lose between now and then. That's not the worst thing, folks. The most tragic thing that can happen with following Jesus tomorrow is this. Tomorrow may never come. The last time I checked my Bible, I am not guaranteed tomorrow. I am not guaranteed the rest of this day. I am not guaranteed my next breath. And I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but I need you to hear this because this is the reality of this truth in Scripture. We as a church just lost a 21-year-old young man this week in a car accident. 21 years old, leaves a wife behind and a 2-year-old son. And we're sitting out there, and I've struck a nerve, and it bothers us. You're not guaranteed even getting home today. And that's why this whole idea, and Jesus brings it out with this second fan, stop saying tomorrow. You need to pray for that family. Hebrews 3:15 tells us why tomorrow's no big deal, or why you need to stop saying it. It says this, Hebrews 3:15, today. Today, that's now. If you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. Respond. Stop telling yourself tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm gonna surrender my secret sin. Tomorrow I'm gonna do it. Tomorrow, stop telling yourself tomorrow I'm gonna be generous. Tomorrow I'm gonna start being generous. Stop telling yourself tomorrow I'm gonna start sharing my faith. Stop telling yourself tomorrow I'll get more involved in church. According to my Bible, today is the day to start following. Period. You guys okay? I love you. I love you. Here's our third fan. Luke 9:61. Somebody else who appears to be willing to commit to Jesus. Still another said this, I will follow you, Lord, but first, that's an interesting word, we just heard that. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. There are some similarities with this fan and the last one we just talked about. This fan agrees to follow Jesus, but not at this right moment. And here's what you need to really get when you hear why, in his reasoning of let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Basically, the third fan implies this. I'll follow you with whatever. That's what his implication is. Jesus replies, okay, I get that. Like your enthusiasm, buddy. What about that? What about that area? Here's what you need to understand about the whole let me go back and say goodbye to my family. The cultural practice of that day and age of saying goodbye to your family, if you were to leave that area, would mean that you would have several going away parties that would last a lengthy time. I like that. That's cool. If I ever go away, let's party all year long before I'm gone. But Jesus' reply to him appears to have agitated Jesus, that someone would actually make such a request. And in verse 62, he says this, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. I kind of feel like Jesus said it that way. No one who puts his hand to the plow and says yes, but keeps looking back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. It almost appears that Jesus knew what this fan's request was, and it revealed the heart already. See, it's not that following Jesus wasn't important to him. Once again, the third fan, guys, he's enthusiastic. Fans are excited. You're excited today to go home and cheer for your football teams. There's no doubt about it. You're excited. You're enthusiastic. But following Jesus just didn't appear to be on this guy's top of his priority list. Many fans say this to Jesus: I'll follow you, Jesus. Anything and everything I have, I give to you. But you got to understand, anytime that you say, anything that I have, God, you got to know that Jesus is going to come back to you and say, okay, cool. What about that area? Whoa. Changing the rules on me. No. From the beginning, we understood everything, right? Not that area. Not that. Okay, well, what about this area? What about that area? These type of fans are willing to follow Jesus, but the relationship isn't exclusive. There's always something that they're holding on to. And what you got to get celebrated is this: Jesus doesn't want followers who have divided affections or split allegiances. So Jesus will always do this. Trust me, he will always do this. He will come to you when you say, I will follow you, Jesus, whatever. He will come to you and point to what you value most or are most concerned with. And he will always, I guarantee you, he will always say, okay, what about that? What about that? What are some of those what about that's, Josh? Help you out. What about your entertainment choices? What about your money? What about your kids? You got to get this one, folks. When you accept the invitation from Jesus to follow him, you're not just saying that he is one of the top priorities in your life. You are making him the only priority in your life. He simply will not settle for undivided attention and incomplete commitment. Guys, I hope you get this. What's that hum? Kevin, can I get a microphone? Because I don't want them to miss this. Sorry for calling time out. I want you to stay with me. Can I get the handheld? Thank you, Matt. Just shut me off if that's what it is. Okay? That's not it. Okay. Stay with me. It's nothing more than Satan right now, just trying to distract you. Don't laugh. I'm not joking. That's serious. He's here. Just as very real as Jesus and the Holy Spirit is here, so is Satan. He does not want what's going on and you hearing these things. You got to get this, folks. Jesus loves you so much that he died to have a relationship with you. Do you get that? Somebody physically gave their life to have a relationship with you. He died for it. So, he won't share your heart with anyone or anything else. He will not do it. When you pay that high a price, he's going to require something back for you. He made no compromises when he came and gave up his life for you, and he'll take no compromises from you either. Please don't miss this. The primary reason that Jesus is so adamant about his followers surrendering everything to him is because of this reality. The one thing that we are often most reluctant to give up is most likely the one thing that holds the potential of becoming a substitute for him. The one thing, that one area that you are most reluctant to give up is usually the one thing that holds the most potential of becoming a substitute for him. And guys, what we're really talking about here is this: idolatry. It's what we're talking about. When we're supposed to be following Jesus, who's out in front of us, but always tending to kind of be looking back behind us at that one thing, my precious, you know what I'm saying? That one thing. We are simply doing this. Every time you look back, all you're doing is revealing what you're substituting him with. That's what you're doing. I get, guys. It only comes with full and final surrender that you will find real satisfaction that comes from following Jesus. I get that it's hard. I fail at it often. I really do. I get that it's difficult to go all in. I get that we fell off the wagon again here in that area of our life, or I looked at that again, or I said that again, or I didn't say yes to that again. And the fear of what we might lose. But Jesus, guys, you got to understand, Jesus will always say this. He'll always say this. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. No, seriously. Do you love me? Yeah. Love you, Jesus. Okay, cool. Do you trust me? Yeah, I placed a faith in you. November 17th, 1976, I placed my faith in you, Jesus. No, seriously, Josh. I've seen you at times. Do you trust me? I think so, yes. Okay? Then come. Follow me. Trust me in every area of your life. You willing to do that? I can honestly stand here and say I've done that. I failed many times, but I've done that. It's not been easy. People have looked at me a little crazy, a little strange. Like I said last week, 1,600 miles across the country to move to Maricopa. That town smells nothing but like cow doo-doo. You know what I said last week, right? 1,600 miles, that's a little crazy. You had free childcare. 5 minutes north. And if she wasn't at home, you had free childcare 10 minutes north. You were at the home church that you met your high school sweetheart at, serving in ministry. Why are you leaving all that comfortability? Because a follower accepts the reality that his life will not be comfortable. Now, that's not to pat me on the back. I'm just using that as an example. So we're not always just using people in the Bible. So you're like, oh, give me a modern day one. Listen. Surrendering all that you have. Get this. Surrendering all that you have for all that he has to offer. I'm telling you, it's the best deal you'll ever receive. It's the best deal you'll ever be offered. And here's how you can tell if you haven't made this deal yet. Have you exchanged obediently following Jesus for a house that is more than you really need? Have you exchanged obediently following Jesus for a relationship that may only be temporary for personal gratification and satisfaction? Have you exchanged obediently following Jesus for more money that's not even yours to begin with? And I'm sorry, I'm using personal illustrations that sting and I'm touching nerves, but I don't know how else to communicate this than to be real and painfully honest with you. Because if you haven't done that, And you haven't exchanged those for obediently following Jesus, I'm telling you, everything that I just listed, those three things, they're bad trade, folks. They're bad trades. They're bad trades. And people are making those trades every single day of their life. And don't misread me. Keep your comment cards back, okay? Don't send the church an email this week. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that all of those things are bad things. I'm not. I'm just saying that those few examples that I just said right there are very easily, susceptibly able to become gods with a little g in your life. And they will only do one thing. They'll replace the real God that you most desperately need. So the real question is this. What might be it? You know, it that's competing most with you wholeheartedly following Jesus? Don't answer it out loud. You can answer it here in a minute. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do. We're almost done. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and just hang with me for 5 more minutes. We're going to close today's service with observing communion together today. I purposely chose to bring our attention back to this and celebrate this ordinance today because I felt it was important for us to kind of redirect ourselves back to the price that Jesus paid for you personally to become a follower of his and not a fan. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't shut me off. Just listen to this. I wanted you to pay extreme attention to the price that Jesus paid for you. And that's what observing communion is. That's what this church ordinance is. It's reminding ourselves. It's about remembering the price that Jesus paid for us. It literally should move you spiritually. It's even so serious that in the Bible it says don't take it unworthily, which means if there's sin in your life or you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, you have no business coming forward to even remember it until you get that sin out of your life or you become a father or a son or a daughter of the King through salvation. That's how important it is. And that's why we recognize it and celebrate it often here at Church of Celebration, because it should move us. But here's what I want you to do today at the close of our series. Before you come forward today and take communion, in light of everything that we've had in conversation these last few weeks, here's the question that I would ask of you. What would your life look like if you radically, wholeheartedly followed Jesus completely? Seriously. Your life here on your left, right now. Life, what Jesus is looking for on your right. Put them up together. What would your life look like? What would be different if you followed Jesus completely? And guys, when I say that, here's what I mean. We're talking about no more excuses. Stop making excuses. You follow Jesus wherever, whenever, and with whatever. That's what we're talking about. What are some things that might need to change? And what I've been praying for you this week is this, that you would be willing to make a spirit-led decision to lay those things down that need to change before you come forward and remember what he's done for you, to make it possible for you to become a fully committed follower of his. Because he didn't do what you're about ready to remember him doing for you to be a fan, an enthusiastic admirer. He came to do what you're about ready to remember he did for you to be a full follower of his. As you think about this too. Remember, any time that Jesus has invited you to follow, he will always ask in response to your answer these questions. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever. Expect Jesus to say, wherever? Okay, what about there? Jesus, I'll follow you whenever. Okay, I'm proud of you. That's good. You've got some enthusiasm. What about now? Jesus, I'll follow you with whatever. Really? Because that might get tricky. What about that? Guys, it's a radical thing. A radical way of life for us to fully surrender to Jesus Christ. Following Jesus is an all or nothing undertaking. So I am challenging you. You have got to remember this before you come up here and you take it. And if you can't do that, if there is just a little bit of you that's holding out on Jesus, don't you dare come up here and remember what he did for you, paying a price for you to become a follower of his. Remember, as you remember today what Jesus did for you, he died. Remember what he requires of you, that you die to. Remember that today. Now, for my friends that are out there today, our very, very special guests, those of you out there that have never, ever, ever said yes to Jesus, you don't even know why you're at church today. You're like, what am I doing here? You just heard the warmest, fuzziest, full of rainbows, lollipops, and daisies invitation to Jesus that you probably will ever hear in church. Congratulations. No, I mean, I don't know how anybody in the world would hear that and want to respond to what we've said being a follower of Jesus Christ means. But here's what's crazy. Something inside of you is just messed up. You're like, dude, I have heard all that stuff, man. That's crazy. Signing my life for slavery, self-denial, no more recognizing my existence, dying daily. Who would do that? But something inside of you is messing you up. And you can't get rid of it. And you're like, I kind of want to do that. Somebody did that in the first service. They came forward and they said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm done doing it my way, and I'm ready to do it God's way. And I want everything that you've talked about. And she sat on the front row, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ and said, I am a fully following believer of yours. And that's you today. Here's the deal. The personal invitation is this. I will be standing at the very front while everybody else is, well, probably like five people because nobody wants to take communion again. I don't know. But while anybody else is taking communion, I'll be standing at the front. If that's you today and you're like, I'd like to say yes to Jesus, I'm ready to sign up for that thing. Then come forward. Let us introduce you to him, show you how to place a faith in him, and then we'll help encourage you and teach you and direct you and guide you on how to follow him wholeheartedly. Meet me at the front. There's the challenge. I'll be right there. I'm praying somebody does it today. Remember, as you take communion, please take your communion on stage. Don't take it back to your chairs. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thanks for today. I'm sorry, God, where I have fallen short. I wish I was so much of a better leader than I am. And God, you usually seem to show me where I fail at leadership in my own home, and I'm sorry for that. I just want, God, for you to have everything. And God, I give you full permission when I am not following you wherever, whenever, and with whatever, smack me up the head, bust me up the side of the head with a 2x4. Please, Jesus, get me on the right track sooner rather than later. I'm praying that other people would recognize that today. I pray that this series, I really do, I pray that it messed people up. I pray that it messed them up in a good way. And you would move more people into the direction of being full followers and not just half-hearted fans. Love you, Jesus, in your precious, in your holy, holy, holy Son's name. Amen.